Well, we're in week two of our spring series called Heroes of Faith. What we're going to do in this series, if you missed last week, is we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, at least the first portion of it, as the heroes of faith are written down and recorded for us there. The writer to the Hebrew lists them by names, doesn't say much about them, and so we are going to dive deeper into their lives and into who they are, into what they may have done or may have been like, and try and understand why they are heroes of faith, because as heroes of faith, they serve to tell us that we could be heroes of faith also. And so we're going to start at the beginning of the book of Hebrews 11, the chapter 11. And if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. If you're following us on our digital teaching notes on YouVersion, you can find instructions on your bulletin how to get those, and you can save those if you like them. But Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous, and when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Right here, we're introduced to the first two people of faith. And all these people in Hebrews 11 are what they call the heroes of faith. They're listed for one reason and one reason alone: their faith. What made these people heroes of faith? It wasn't what they did, it was what they believed. It wasn't their actions, it was their faith. See, it's not based on any great thing that you think you have to do. It's based on believing God and being faithful to God. So this morning we're going to look at the first two people. We just read their names. We just briefly looked at their stories. And like I said, we're going to dig deeper, a little bit deeper into their stories. You see, their stories may be small, but their footprint is huge. And so we're going to look at them. And so the first story we're going to dive into is the story of Abel. Some would say Cain and Abel, but we really want to look at Abel. And his story is found in Genesis chapter 4, way back in the opening pages of your Bible. In Genesis 4, verses 1 to 5, we read these words about him. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, that's an amount of long amount of time. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And we don't have time to read all of it, but at the end of the story, Cain becomes so jealous of Abel that he kills his brother. This is the story of the first worship of God. It's the first one that's recorded as we come across Genesis. And so here we have a story of two brothers who bring an offering to the Lord. I want you to understand, they're not bringing a sacrifice, they're bringing an offering. Much like many of you may have brought an offering to the Lord this morning. And they come and they bring their offerings. Now remember too that this is before the law. This is before the law of Moses. This is two brothers who want to bring a gift to God. It's that simple. They just wanted an expression of their life back to God. These gifts, these offerings they bring them, they also show us something about their hearts. They had a desire, I believe they had a desire for fellowship with God. Remember, these are Adam and Eve's boys. Remember Adam and Eve, they are the people who walked, who God formed Adam out of the dust and then Eve out of a rib. And then God gave them the garden and said, don't eat of it, have everything you want, but don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that's what they did, and then they were banished from the garden. But all that time that they lived in the garden, the Bible paints a picture for us of a paradise, of what it was to live in the presence of God, that God would come in the cool of the evening and he would literally walk and talk with Adam and Eve. And I think that Adam and Eve, as the boys would grow up, they'd sit around the dinner table and they'd have their spaghetti and meatballs and they'd be there nightly having dinner together, talking about life and what they did that day. And I think Mom and Dad, Adam and Eve, would often say, did we ever tell you what it was like to walk in the garden with God? Did we ever tell you what it was like that we could easily go and have fellowship? And God would walk the gardens with us. And every night it was a great way to end our day. As Cain and Abel, I'm assuming, I'm taking Hollywood license here, okay? I'm kind of reading between the lines and trying to imagine what it would have been like. And they heard those stories, and as they grew up, they're probably young men now, and I want to know God. And so I'm bringing my offering to him. And so Cain and Abel bring their offerings to God. An expression of their heart, an expression of their desire for fellowship with God. Isn't that why most of us are here? Let's be honest. Because we want to connect with God. We need to connect with one another. Because we are brothers and sisters. We are family. God is our Father. But there's a longing inside every one of us. There's a longing inside every one of our hearts, every one of our spirits that says there's got to be more than what I could see and touch in this world. There has to be a God who is real. And as we gather in church on Sunday mornings, or as you gather in your small group through the week, it's an opportunity to connect with people, but more importantly, to connect with God. And Cain and Abel are looking for this, and they're expressing, and so they bring their gifts. They bring their offerings to the Lord. They want to have fellowship with him. And notice that Cain and Abel offered what they had. That's the beauty of our God. He doesn't ask you to give what you don't have. He asks you to give out of what you have. We talk that the Bible teaches us before the law that, the tithe is 10% of what we have and we give it to God, and our offering is above that, and these guys come with what they have. And I don't believe there's any problem with what they offered. A lot of people have read this story and said, well, the problem is that, Abel brought the fat of the animals, but Cain only brought produce from the land. And the Bible doesn't say that, because even in Mosaic law, you could bring things that weren't animals in the right places and for the right reasons. And God's not looking at Cain and saying, oh, you only brought me your harvest. Like, that's not good enough. I want animal fat. I don't believe that's the case. There's no indication in this story, there's no indication even in the Mosaic law that follows many, many centuries later that there was anything wrong with what they brought. So what is the difference here? I mean, like I said, Cain brought his crops and Abel brought from his flock. Why does the Bible tell us that God accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering? And the only thing we have to find here is it's not the offering itself. It's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be stronger than that. It has to be more meaningful than that. God accepted Abel's offering, but did not accept Cain's offering. I believe the answer is found in the issue of the heart. The answer seems to rest in the heart of the giver. Think about it for a moment. Fast forward to the time of Jesus. As Jesus and his disciples are standing in the temple courts, they're watching men come with their, if you would, with their bags of money. But Jesus is there with the disciples and they're watching. They're watching as the rich men come with their offerings. They come as a religious ritual that they know that they have an obligation to give to the temple, to give to God so much money out of all of that they have. And they come with, and I'll say, you know, just for picture's sake, they come with their bags of money and they drop them in the temple. And then behind them comes a little old widow. And she comes and she would drop, for instance, for our sake, 2 pennies. 2 pennies. And Jesus says to his disciples, she gave more than them. Now, I know that we all may not be mathematicians, but I'm pretty sure that all of us can figure out that a bag of money has a more monetary value than 2 pennies. Correct? She dropped 2 pennies, and Jesus said she brought more than them. They gave out of abundance, she gave out of nothing. Is it the monetary value that matters? No, not if we're walking in obedience to God, because that's not going to matter to us. So what is the issue? The issue is the heart. The widow gave out of her heart. The rich man gave out of a sense of obligation. Did Cain give out of obligation, but Abel gave out of a heart of worship? We don't really know because we're not told. But when you look at the rest of the Bible, because the Bible is intertwined from cover to cover, from beginning to end, it all meshes together in one gospel message. And the words we read at the beginning in Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. By faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So what is Abel speaking to us? That we give to faith in God. So that when we give our offering, when we give our tithe, when we set aside, we're told what to do what Abel did. Abel offered in faith. He believed in God. He had faith in God. He trusted God. Faith is only real when it results in actions. Faith always brings obedience. Faith always brings obedience. So our hero Abel, because he's the first hero that's mentioned. It's a short story. It's kind of a sad story. Because Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't, Cain became angry, he became frustrated, he became depressed. He became jealous. His jealousy led him to murdering his brother. But our hero Abel, he offered a gift to God based on faith. Abel allowed his heart for God to lead him as he worshiped God. He didn't worship God in a religious ritual. He worshiped God as he allowed his heart to reach. He wanted to know God the way his mother and father had walked in the garden with him. He wanted to know that kind of a God. And his heart, as he gave of his offering, as he gave his gift to God, he gave it from a place of gratefulness of who God is. His faith led him to be called righteous. How is your worship towards God? What is your worship towards God all about? Do you worship God because your heart wants to worship God? Or are you just following a religious ritual? See, because religious rituals end up becoming empty rituals. And we're not called to live in empty rituals and empty life. We are called to live in the richness of following God and letting our hearts reach out to God so that we too, like Adam and Eve in the days of old when they walked in the garden in the cool of the night, we too could walk in fellowship with a heavenly Father who loves us. What is your worship towards God like? Are you just going through the motions? Are you just doing it without much thought or without much heart? Are you like those rich men who brought bags of money to the temple, but it was just a ritual? It had no meaning. It had no heart. It had no life transformation to it. Will your faith please God? How is your worship with God? Our second hero that we look at this morning is Enoch. And he's got a really unique and a really cool and I'll be honest, a little bit weird story. Wonderful weird, but weird. Like, wow weird, but different. His story is also found in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. If you don't know Enoch, this is what the Bible tells us. It says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Imagine not having your first kid when you're 65. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. That's what it says. Like one day Enoch got up, had breakfast, he went for a walk, and he never came home. Imagine that. I try to imagine what his family must have done. Like who told them? I'm sure the mother said to Methuselah, go out and find your father. He's been gone all day. It's supper time. We can't find him. The search party went out. They couldn't find him. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more. Because God took him away. We're told here that the thing that distinguishes Enoch as a hero of faith is this. He walked with God. He walked with God. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden, as I mentioned a few moments ago? In the cool of the night, they would walk with God. Enoch, since Adam and Eve is the first one where the Bible says they walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Walk here is the biblical expression for fellowship and obedience that results in divine favor. Enoch walked with God. He had fellowship with God. He lived obedience to God. He walked under the divine favor of God because of his fellowship and his obedience. It's a walk of dedication and devotion. He's devoted to God. It's a walk of faithful living. Enoch demonstrated a life that showed that faith was all about his heart. He consistently, constantly, and completely walked with God. To walk with God means to live a life that is surrendered to God. To walk with God means to live a life that is controlled by God and to be lived for God. And not only does the beginning of the Bible in Genesis speak, it's really cool, but the second to last book of the Bible is a small book called Jude. And Jude 11:14 says these words about Enoch. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. To judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's at the beginning and he's right near the end, Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And then we're told here Enoch talked about God. He prophesied. Enoch prophesied before anybody knew anything called a prophet. Think about that. Cain and Abel offered sacrifices before the law talked about sacrifice. Sorry, they offered an offering. Before the law outlined offerings and sacrifices. Enoch walks and prophesies and talks about God before anybody knew anything about prophets. He preached to the people of his generation. He shared the fact that there is a God who loves them and cannot put up with sin, and God would judge sin, and they needed to repent. See, the message about God's judgment of sin is not to scare people. It's to turn people's hearts back to God so people would do like Enoch did, so they could walk and talk about God. And yet, he's a hero of faith because of his faithfulness. We're told that Enoch went for a walk one day and he just never came home. You know, he went out on a walk down the dusty trail, and I think he just, the further he walked, the higher he went. I just have this picture. He's walking down the road, and once he hits a certain place, every step takes him higher and higher. And without knowing it, he just walked into heaven. He just walked into heaven. Enoch lived 365 days, and then he was no more. Years. Thank you. Years. Then he was no more. How did he please God? He lived in faith. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. He walked with God. He talked about God. He believed that God existed. He told others they needed God. He went for a walk one day and he walked into heaven. How is your walk with God? Do you believe that God exists? Does your life speak about God? Do you, as a life lived, talk about God? Do you please God with your life? Do you please God the way that you're living? Are you faithful to God? Maybe you're here this morning and you've not thought about God much. You kind of come to church now and then, or somebody dragged you along this morning, or you just woke up with the sense of, maybe I could find God today. Maybe you're here today and say, you know, I need to be like Enoch. I need to find a way to walk with God. I need to walk with God. Maybe you've not really considered God. Maybe you're listening to these stories of two ancient men, Abel and Enoch, and you've never really even heard of them before. First you find it kind of weird, and then you find it kind of wonderful. Do you want to walk with God? Do you want to know God? Do you want a heart like Abel that just said, I just want to come and give thanks to God for who he is? Here, God, here's my gift. The greatest gift that you can give God is yourself. Give God your heart. Give God your life. You give yourself to God. It's an offering that we all need to decide on. What's your walk like? Do you need to walk with God? Maybe you've been going through the religious rituals all of your life, but today, as you look at these heroes of faith, as you look at Abel and Enoch, you say, they have had something that I want. They had something I want. Just ask if everybody would just close their eyes for a moment. I just want to give people privacy. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I've never given myself to God. I've never realized the need for forgiveness of my sins. I've never had a desire to walk with God. But as I hear, Pastor, as I hear these stories of Abel and Enoch, as I sit here today, I keep wondering, can God do that for me? I want to tell you, God can do that for you and so much more. If you're here this morning anywhere in this room and you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to God. I want to walk with God. Pastor, I want to know God like I've never known him before. Say, Pastor, I need to have my life straightened out by God. I need to have my sins forgiven. We talked about communion and sin, but I've never accepted Jesus into my life to give my life as an offering to God. If that's you this morning, would you just hold your hand up and maybe just look at me so I can make eye contact with you? I'm so glad. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me this morning. So we've started our journey into the lives of the heroes of faith. Today we've seen the lives of two men. They did not have long stories. One was murdered for his faith. The other disappeared for his faith. One worshiped God like no one before him. The other walked with God like no one before him. But they have this one thing in common. They both lived to please God. They both lived their lives in faith to God. What about your faith? Do you live to please God today? Do you believe God's word? Do you live for God with every aspect of your life and every situation of your life? Have you given your life as a worship, as an offering to God? What about your faith? Where is your faith at this morning? Are you walking with God? Are you following God? Do you have faith in God? What about your faith? See, that's the only question you really have this morning. Ask yourself, am I walking with God? Have I offered my life to God? Let's pray together.